So my good friend Andy Kurtz and I have decided to do a packaging design podcast. Now, it's different than other packaging podcasts that you hear because it's not specifically focused on the box it comes in, but all aspects and nuances of the packaging. We will discuss in every way that we can think of that best describes our experience with it, what we think is working or where things could have been improved. We will also talk about what is involved with owning a small firm and running the everyday ins and outs. And to let you in on a little secret, we really love what we fucking do. Kirk Faisola is the founder and creative director of Mind the Font, a full-service CPG branding and packaging design agency. And Andy Kurtz is the founder and creative director of Buttermilk Creative, an agency that focuses on packaging and branding design for the specialty food and beverage space. Together, we are Kirk and Kurtz.
This is the Kirk and Kurtz Design Podcast. Kirk and Kurtz number 41. Everything's AI with Avelia Matos.
I'm uploading a new packaging AI image right now.
Gosh. Oh boy, I'm scared.
Always be closing.
That's right. Right. I'm Kirk Faisola. I'm the founder and creative director of Mind the Font, and I'm here with my good friend
Andy Kurtz, founder and creative director of Buttermilk Creative,
and this is the Kirk and Kurtz Design Podcast. All right. So our guest today. We're going to get to in a second, but I just need to catch up with Andy real quick because that's what we need to do. Andy, how are you?
I'm good. We have one of our household has the flu, but the rest are healthy. So we're just going to ride it out until, you know, holiday time. So we're good.
Perfect, man. Good. Yeah. And little Ollie's doing well.
Of course. Yeah, he's rocking and rolling. Yeah.
The Ollie update. Yeah. Well, things are going okay on my end. It rained, so it's kind of nice because we need the rain in California. But also, what it does is it brings up the temperature. So instead of being 39 degrees at night, it's now about 48 or 50. So it makes
the rain
a huge difference.
Helps that?
Yeah.
Is like humidity?
I have no idea why, but usually it's not as cold.
Interesting.
I'm not a meteorologist.
Sure.
Or a person who studies the weather, but yeah. So everything's peachy keen. I'm ready for
What's the song? The It Never Rains in California.
It Never Rains in Southern California. That's by 2022, I believe. I believe. Avelio could help us out with that.
But you're in Northern California.
I'm in Northern California. It rains up. We get snow too. All kinds of weather out here. But all right, so
it's freezing in the desert. It's like 60 degrees in my house. What are you talking about?
Right?
Yeah. All right, so
right now.
for the few of you who recognize that sexy voice in the ear, that is Avelio Matos.
Yes.
Avelio is the podcast host for Packaging Unboxed. He also does his own Friday show on LinkedIn called Packaging University, or Packaging U, as he would like to call it. And then there's Packaging Today with himself, Corey Connors, and Adam Peak. I almost said Adam Leak, but that's not his name. Adam Peak. Shout out to Adam and Corey as well. And that's on Mondays on LinkedIn at 7:30 a.m. Pacific. Is that right, Emilio?
That is correct. Yeah.
Look at that. Dude, I know my shit. And now he's just taking on. And today we brought him back on. He's been on before. He's an amazing packaging artist, for lack of a better term. He's the guy that does all the structures for packaging. He makes them look pretty. He's the one that thinks about the crazy unfolds and has worked with small clients like Lady Gaga. But his new venture is, or she say Gaga, I'm not sure. But the new venture today is packaging AI. And this has kind of been the hot new thing. And Avelio's on top of it. He's made several NFTs and now he's doing packaging AI. So without further ado, and without me droning on and pontificating and being quite verbose, Mr. Avelio Matos, thanks for coming back on, brother. How you doing?
Yeah, for sure, man. Awesome, dude. Thanks so much for having me back on here. So what do you guys want to know? Let's dig into packaging AI.
What's the big question?
I'm the one that sort of, you know, has the all the burning questions. So yeah, I wanted to pick your brain because I've been seeing all your posts and seeing all the comments and everything for other people that are posting things around packaging, utilizing AI with packaging. So I just wanted to pick your brain, just basically like, how can we as designers, integrate this into our workflow? And not, because I see a lot of people who are like, this is the end of the industry. Like, you're going to, AI is going to take over and we're done. Yeah. There's going to be no creativity ever again. And then I see you post something where you're like, juicebox, packaging, and like all the letters are misspelled. So at least we can typeset, you know, like we can at least do that.
Dude, that's just this week. Next week, we'll figure it out.
But no, I just want to, because I'm very curious, because it's just something that obviously is very buzzy right now, but I do think it's going to become more commonplace and more a thing. And so I just wanted to pick your brain about why you've sunk your teeth into it and how you see it integrating into our industry.
Why AI?
So what the, all right, man. So the reason I'm like jumping full force in this thing is, at some point I'm going to get replaced. And if somebody's going to replace me, I want to replace me. Right. I want to be the one to get me out of a job. Not just wait around for somebody else to figure it out. And then I'm screwed. I want to know what's going on. And I would like to stay ahead of the game. But it's kind of just like, I guess let's take a step back, right? Like, what is AI, right? Like, we're throwing the term around, but essentially it's just machine learning, right? Yeah. And we interact with it every single day. My mom uses AI, like everybody is using it at this point. When you go into Google and you type in, Andy Kurtz and whatever comes after that, like the autofill, that's a learned behavior. It's not something that is just magic. This is that's machine learning. They've taught the algorithm, how to make connections that, Andy is a human, he's a designer. He does a podcast with Kirk, and you type in, Andy Kurtz, you might get Kirk Vaisola filling in the gap, right? Like, it might be like Andy Kurtz and Kirk Vaisola. Like, you don't know what's going to pop in there, but it's making connections the same way that you or I would. We're using AI all the time. That's just one instance. There's a million other, so it's not like it's that far removed, but it's just made our life easier in these different areas. Now we're starting to see it a little bit more in depth, right? Because it's like we're seeing visual, we're seeing like a visual design coming from it. Now all of a sudden, like, we are, like, holy shit. Yeah. But, if you can go, if you were going to go under the knife and you're going to be operated on by Dr. Vaisola here, and, he's got a pretty good hit rate. He's only killed like 3 patients in the last 4 years.
Sure. Right?
He's left a sponge in them on accident or something.
Yeah. Right.
Or
it happens. It happens.
Absorb the blood. Absorb the blood.
Exactly. Right. Or you can go under the knife by, Joe Schmo, who is going to be assisted with AI that has a 99.9% success rate. Like, you would pick the one that has the assistance, right? That has this sort of a co-pilot, right? And that's kind of the way that people are looking at AI is it's this co-pilot sitting there with you. It's giving you, direction. It's giving you options. It's calculating things for you. It's almost like the end of that Marvel movie. I don't know. There's like a million of them, right? Where Dr. Strange sits there and his head's all spinning around, and he's like, I went through like a million different scenarios, and there's only one way that we can win.
Infinity War, Avengers, Infinity War.
See, I'm a nerd, but I'm not that big of a nerd.
Wakanda forever.
Right. So that's, it's basically that. Like, it's giving you a million different options, and then you can pick and choose like what makes the most sense for you based on your experience. So it's not like the scariest thing. It's just, it's really cool at this point. It'll be scary later.
Yeah, I think the concept the concept itself is pretty interesting, because it gives you results, but it gives them to you quickly. And I think that is really what is boss now, is speed. We're all about speed. We're all about getting things done well and getting things done quickly and everything else. But you mentioned something of Kirk versus Joe Schmo and AI. The fact that AI is pulling information means that someone's already created that stuff. And that's, that for me is the big conundrum I'm facing, is how does it decipher between public domain and private work? I know, Avelio, you mentioned the Mona Lisa earlier, as far as using like that style and everything else, but there's tons of artists that have their own style. And then all of a sudden now AI is just going to be pulling it and then making stuff for reference. I think for mock-ups, I think for being able to visualize an idea, I think it's great. Using it as funnel artwork, though, I think is where the problem comes in for me. Like, I have a problem with that. Being a designer and being a creative, I think that, this is just me talking, 90% of the work I do, 95% of the work I do is not influenced by anyone else. I try to think it's not that way. I don't even look at research or online if I'm doing something. I struggle with it as much as I can because I want to be able to come up with something out of my own head or experience or whatever. And it seems like 98% of what that 100% of what that program is doing is picking up stuff that's already been done by other people. That's where the conundrum lies in, and it's only going to get better. Juicebox, the Type BMS stuff is just going to get better. This is such an infantile journey, not infantile. This journey is in its infant stages, right? So the technology is in its infant stages. So it's only going to get more and more precise and better with time.
Yeah. You know, I would look at like I like movies, man, but I'm not a Marvel guy. But I would look at like what do you call it? Interstellar. Right. And I use this example with Here Design out of London, where they're on the podcast. Like Interstellar, you know, in terms of like when they travel, like when the further out they go, you know, a minute for them is like 10 years here. And that's the way that AI is aging. 3 weeks ago, you couldn't get letters out of it. This week, you're getting amazing typography out of it. You know, it can't spell at the moment. It can't put together the characters in the way that you want to. You know, a week ago, I couldn't do that. This week, I'm getting like crisp Chanel logos coming out of that thing on some of the renderings, or, you know, some of the images that it generates. Like, it is learning. And the more people that use it, the faster it learns. And that's the thing. It's like the more inputs, the faster the outputs. And that's, I think, the part where a lot of people are having a hard time. Like, they don't understand that if you're going to get in, you got to get in now so you can learn everything now, because in a month it'll be a completely different animal and you're not going to have this foundation to build off of. But in terms of like what you were saying, Kirk, you know, you say that you don't do any research, right? So if I look at like some of the stuff that you put together, right, like the rocket coffee or the ray gun coffee, like that illustration style, like you did not invent that, right? Like that's
we can
go back into, you know, Jetson.
No, wait, time out. I see where you're going. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Don't even say.
Oh,
like,
I'm gonna go there.
I can paint like Rembrandt. I can paint like Rembrandt or copy his style. Copying his style is much different than copying the artwork. Like, for instance, a prime example, Elvis stole the style of greats like Chuck Berry. He didn't specifically copy that music, but he took it, and he took it for his own based upon something else. Now that's fucked up, and that's kind of what this program doesn't do. It literally steals the work itself. It's not even like copying it, it's like stealing the work and manipulating.
How's it stealing the work?
It's taking someone that's already done the work. That's a like, for instance, if I have a friend who's an artist, or I'm an artist, I paint something, and that something is being sold, and it's something, and it's for other people. So it's taking that art and manipulating it and turning it into something else. The same thing was happening with Shepard Fairey when he did the Obama poster, right? The first poster he did. The photographer who took that said, "You owe me money because you used my reference." That was just for using reference from it to draw something. This is literally stealing other people's different work and turning it into. No, it's not.
Yeah, it's the reason different. That's different. The reason that's different is he literally traced the image. He didn't. It wasn't a reference. It was like,
you realize you're contradicting you.
No. It was like a literal tracing of the photo.
You realize you're contradicting yourself, right? Right.
No, like, because if I go into, if you're using, like, for example, so like I created some Vans shoes and I used Shepherd Fairey as an inspiration. The box construction was completely new. All the graphics on the box were completely new, but the style, was there, which is not a style that he owns. I mean, his style is a Russian constructivist inspired style.
1,000,000%.
And that goes back even further. So like there's inspiration on top of inspiration. It's not like it's not taking anything he's created and putting it on packaging.
But that's what that work is doing. That's what the AI is doing. It's taking work that's been created and is making it to its work.
It's taking work that's been created and then it's running it through like it's basically saying like, oh hey, if Shepherd Fairey were to do this right now, how would he treat this? How would his how would he approach this? And because of the inputs that I have, you know, up to the second, millisecond, whatever, this is how it would look. So he's not it isn't like create, you know, like it's not saying like, okay, let's just put the Obama image from Shepherd Fairey onto Van's shoes. It's like, with these inputs, what would it do? And I know what you're saying, Kirk, and I do like on one hand, that's what's weird about AI in traditional data is that when we look at we've as a society, we've always, when we interact with databases and dashboards, the visual is only as good as the inputs, you know? And so like, if you have, I was just talking about this with a friend who I walked to school with, we walk our kids to school with, he's a finance guy and he has a dashboard, but all the financials that go into the dashboard are not correct, you know? So he's, and so it's like, it's only as good as what goes into it. That's what we're used to. Okay. With AI not only has that input that you actually plug into it, but it also has the benefit of all this other stuff that it's bringing in. All the, you know, it has your input and then all this other input. And it then, I don't know how it does this, magic maybe, creates this new visual based on all that various types of input. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just from one place. I don't know how to describe it, but I know what you're saying, Kirk, but I think it's different.
Yeah, it's basically like, you know, when you're hunting a serial killer and you've got that map on your wall and you're connecting all these different dots.
Yeah.
It's like that. And then the result, you know, that's where that's coming from. And yeah, people, you know, when the OpenAI was developed, they did put in a ton of art from different artists. They did photography from different photographers. That's a whole thing that is being discussed, and there's lawsuits and stuff like that are happening. But you don't have to use prompts, right? Like the way that you get output from this thing is based on the prompts that you're using, right? So you don't have to say Shepherd Fairey. You don't have to say anything. You can just I just made a hot Mrs. Butterworth's bottle, right? I took her and made her into Ms. Butterworth. And, you know,
I want to see it now. I want to see the Mrs. Butterworth butter.
You got to go onto Packaging AI on LinkedIn.
Kirk's sweating.
Oh, I'm not. Right. I'm not sweating. I just, for me, it's.
No, you're sweating of hot Miss Butterworth.
Yes.
Not from the career thing. Not, forget that.
Hot Miss Butterworth. I already have like hot chicken of the sea lady. Hot Mr. Clean, which they've already done. But it's like, I feel people are using it as their actual career path to make a career rather than enhance your skill set. Like I can see somebody like what I was talking about earlier. I think it would be great for mockups to say, hey, I want something like this, but then I would want to hire an illustrator to actually do it for me.
Why?
Well, that way I have an actual personal touch on something. I mean, why? It feels like you screw over illustrators by doing that. Like
dude, I'm not the illustrator payment police. I'm not here to make an illustrator rich. You know, if I can type in six words and get amazing original art that is production ready, why would I be like, hey, illustrator guy, can you duplicate this in 3 weeks, something that I got out in 15 seconds, and I'm going to pay you, you know, $5,000 for it. Like, that's not where it's going, you know? And if we push out even further, where does all this end? Right. Essentially, we're not necessarily going to be making the decisions for ourselves. Like, what's in our fridge? Our fridges can talk to our phones. They can talk to, you know, Amazon directly. They can order stuff for you already. Right. Amazon can walk into your house if you've given them access, and they can put shit in your refrigerator. Walmart can do that too. They're not doing that in my house. They can do that today. You know, it's going to get to the point where you're not making these decisions. The AI is making those decisions for you. And essentially what the design is going to be is, it's not going to be designing to be attractive to Kurt. It's going to be designed to be attractive to the AI of the persona, Kirk.
Yeah. Right?
And how it's talking to itself. Because you're not going to be in the loop of making the decision of what milk you're buying or what batteries you're getting or what channel you're turning. Yeah. Like that, that's kind of where it's going. So, you know, getting ahead of that, it's like, all right, well, how do we control this and how do we use this?
So do you... This is sort of existential, but do you envision a time where, like, people aren't physically shopping, like walking grocery aisles?
Dude, I hate going to the grocery store.
We're doing it now.
I go on my phone. Yeah, I go on my phone. I got a grocery list. I click through whatever I'm out of.
Yeah,
and it orders it. Like, I could plug my refrigerator into that and have it do it for me, but that gets a little weird for me.
Yeah.
That's where I draw the line. Yeah, man.
So, but
I haven't seen the sun in like 6 days.
But when you're scrolling through, you know, making those choices, we do the same thing. You know, we have the Target app. We sit there and boop, 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 boop. I mean, mainly we just base things on price, but sometimes packaging comes into play, which I'd like to think is still important.
It is, because you're looking at it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, even on Amazon, I mean, that's still a thing. Like, you know, you still, like, all the vendors load up, you know, all their available spaces, you know, for their thumbnail or, you know, for all their product images, you know, they load those up with all that stuff. So I do think the visual is still needed. You know, it's like not just an AI looking at product specs and saying, like, this matches the nutrient density of your family, therefore I will order this for you.
Today it doesn't do that.
Yes, exactly.
But you are training the AI that is Target in terms of what you buy every week. Like, you know, if Target offered an app that that would just do it for you, you'd be like, oh yeah, of course. Like, why wouldn't I?
They'd send a little Target bought to my house with the delivery. That'd be perfect.
I think for me, I miss the romance behind it, the nostalgia.
You're so romantic.
The skill. Well, the skill behind doing stuff. Like, for instance, you look at Jake Weedman, who's a calligraphy artist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see him do these wonderful pieces of work with calligraphy, and sure, it takes time, but I like the idea of someone showing their skill set in making something like that. Mm-hmm. Granted, in 5 or 6 years, there might be a skill set where people know exactly what to put in. They built the algorithms themselves to produce whatever AI it is, so that in turn could be a skill set. But I think right now, the biggest problem is that you even mentioned earlier that shit moves so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it seems like everything moves so quickly. And next thing you know, it's like, where is this going? I think there needs to be parameters in place to kind of make sure it's being managed properly. Like, to make sure it doesn't turn into like the fridge being taken over or whatever. It sounds silly, but I appreciate the skill set that goes into making the work.
We can't even have an election in our own country. We're not going to manage an uncontrollable monster.
That's not even important. That's not even important, the election. Don't worry about that.
I think we care more about what we purchase than what we actually vote for. So yes, we will focus on that. We will, this not so much. We really care about what we buy.
Yeah, I think we need to get some of that good AI air and send it over to China, and then China can send us
the bad AI air. Here's my disclaimer. Right, because I'm picturing somebody listening to this. I'm picturing somebody listening to this, and like
all comments on Kirk and Kurtz are not part of Velia Matos' personal brand.
Like, I hear somebody clocking out at this point.
Yeah,
and going, man, Velia is a fucking asshole because he just doesn't want to make illustrators rich. No, it's just me personally. It's just this is the way that it's going, right? Mm-hmm. And the way that I'm using it today, for example, like. I'm using it to generate concepts, right? I'm pumping in basically a brief, right? If I'm getting a brief, there's terms in there. I want to put that in here and see what does that even generate, right? Because I can share that with, whoever I'm getting the brief from and go like, hey, this is kind of where we're going with this. This is what those words translate into. Mm-hmm. Is this what you're talking about, right? Because it makes it a lot clearer and it's a lot faster than me trying to go hunt down Pinterest images to put together a board to go, hey, is this what you mean? If I can do it in seconds and they're like, oh, dude, that's totally not what I meant. They're like, it's like halfway there. I was thinking a little bit more modern, a little bit sleeker, whatever. They're like, all right. And then I fine tune those words and come back like, hey, is this sort of the direction? And they're like, yeah, that's it. It's like, okay, well then this is a way that we can shift that brief, right? So that everything else is in line with this. Because one of the things that we suck at is language, right? Mm-hmm. The words that you're using versus the words that I'm using don't necessarily communicate the same thing.
Yeah.
But it, we each conjure up different images in our mind. And so it's able to be a mirror to what we're thinking. So that's like, that's like one place, but
I was just going to say real quick, I like that approach because how many times have you heard clients say, I'll know it when I see it. And it's like, well, for you to say that, that's quick, I'll know it when I see it. For me, that's like hours of work trying to dial in what you want. And if I can quickly, like you said, like quickly just input some keywords, a phrase, and then just try to dial in, get in the neighborhood of what they're envisioning, then that saves, because then I can spend that creative effort on that final product.
Yeah, for sure.
For now.
I think for me, this will be a silly point, but kind of a point. If the idea of money and being paid for stuff for me wasn't an option, I'd be all for it. But I feel bad because we want the idea of equality, which I'm totally for. And I think that people who work in fast food should be getting paid the same as people who work as C-suite executives, because it's way too much fucking money. I don't think it should be an issue. I think everybody should have their basic needs. But right now it seems like you'll be equating a job. Just hold on a second.
I disagree with that, by the way, but go ahead.
let me finish what I have to say. I said, you'll be equating people who've spent time honing their craft into someone who, can just pick up a pencil or pick up a pen and start clicking things and do the same thing. And it's kind of like, it takes away from me like the skill set almost by having that done. Because by the way you're explaining it and putting in parameters and stuff like that to get concepts for a box, it seems like anybody could do that, which is just, I like the idea, but I don't like the result of it. Like I wish that it was able for everybody to be compensated fairly in this situation. That's my biggest qualm with it. But you're saying you don't disagree with?
I disagree with everybody being paid the same. Which it sounds like kind of you're in that same area, right?
Compensated. I disagree with people not being compensated, because the fact it takes so long for us to do stuff means that there was a skill set that was developed. But then someone else can come along and do the exact same thing for less time, but then charge the same amount, is just kind of like, progress, but also kind of fucked because then there's no skill set. But in the long, in the grand scheme of things, I think that's awesome that everybody can come along and do the same thing. There wouldn't be any specialty, then everybody would probably be treated on the equal fair, right? Equal grounds, sure. Kind of like Star Trek or anything where. Like, there's no money mentioned in Star Trek, right? There's
no,
like,
never. Right? Nobody ever has change in their pocket.
Seriously, it's like everybody gets what they want, and their skill set is their specialty. So there's people who are doctors, and people who still do things, and that's like their wealth establishment. But that's not.
Yeah, I'm just not wearing. I'm not wearing that outfit.
This is a design podcast. This is a design podcast, by the way.
All right, okay. So like, if you're people are 3D printing houses, right? And it's like inexpensive, it's affordable, it's fast. We're seeing like homes being 3D printed, we're seeing neighborhoods being 3D printed, and we're not like upset about it, right? Because we're not in the carpentry industry, we're not in that area. But now that it's encroaching on something that we care about, we're like, holy shit, I don't want to do this anymore because, you know, it's not fair to me. Like, essentially, like, this is happening in every industry, right? In supply chain and boat and, you know, container ship loading. Like, I mean, every random industry, this is happening. There's pizza bots that can create pizzas faster, more accurately, better than humans. There are robots that are, you know, making burgers faster, better, stronger than humans can, more efficiently in a smaller space. Like, there are, you know, self-driving cars that have pizza robots inside of them that can actually make the pizza on the way to your house without a human at all. Like,
who does that benefit?
Me. If I'm ordering a pizza, I want a damn fresh pizza, you know, showing up to my house, you know?
Right.
You know, if the local...
we're a terrible audience for this because, I mean, I can't speak for Avelia, but I'm pretty sure Kirk and I both order pizza from like our local pizzeria that like is owned by some crusty person and like is staffed by the crustiest people ever. Right. And that we go for that interaction and like that character. And like the last thing I want is a robot made pizza.
But if you can't tell the difference between the robot made pizza and the crusty old man pizza.
But that's not the point. You're losing the human interaction there. That's my point. Like, you're eliminating the middleman.
Again, I haven't left my house in like 6 days. I haven't seen the sun.
All these drones and everything are descending on Avelia's house. So we are veering very dangerously towards like this like very broad, ginormous discussion around, you know, probably like machine learning ethics, which I don't want to get into.
Yeah.
But
so not that
it's not important and not that it's not a thing, but like I really just I can see the value in quickly sort of basically jump starting what. All right, take a step back.
Yeah. Are you sure, Andy?
Do you see an equivalent to how past creatives, like, is there a thing that past creatives used to do that is an equivalent to us using AI to jumpstart concepts? Like, I don't know. Is there a, yeah. Make us feel better about this.
Hand lettering.
Well, I mean, just Pinterest.
Yeah.
Right. Boards. Yeah.
Right. Before that, I mean, you were.
You don't have to look through all these
magazines.
Magazines. Yeah. That's Pinterest great. Yeah.
Eliminated that.
Yeah.
You know, stripping. Right. Like, if you were in production of, you know, any type of print materials, like there were people that had honed this craft of stripping films, and they were amazing at paste up and. CTP just goes right from InDesign, Illustrator, whatever, PDF, straight to a plate. Yeah. Those people are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also just think about the introduction of Adobe Illustrator.
Yeah.
And everything used to be hand done. Like my father, Outlaw, would, this is the craziest thing. Like, he was working as a designer in the 60s. And so you're sitting there and you have to hand do everything. So he would hand do his lettering on a wine label, but then that lettering would go off to an actual letterer to get lettered. And you looked at what he did, it's like, wow, that's really good. But then you go to the person who actually did it, and it's like, wow, that's amazing. Now all I do is just click on Illustrator and click on stuff, and hey, there's all my type.
You live trace it.
Right, exactly. And so I see that, but
cell phones.
Right. If you think about the progress that was made from the 60s to now, it's a much bigger leap than like from here to 2024 or 2023. Yeah. Like end of this year, I mean, it just grows at such an extraordinary rate that people don't have time to adjust. And that's what I'm thinking along those lines, is like, I'm trying to think of how someone can adjust to compensate. And like what you're doing by accepting and going along with it is great, but a lot of people don't have that chance or don't have that luxury to do that. And that's the fault I see.
What's the luxury? Right, like I'm fumbling my way through this, right?
Right. No, but you have the chance to do that. You're not having to go to work a 9 to 5 and then studying your off hours or take care of stuff. So there's afforded.
Dude, I went to bed at 3:30 this morning because I was on Midjourney from 11 to 3 in on phone calls with, you know, the UK, because there's amazing designers there that are using Midjourney. And I'm like, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? And I'm taking the, I can't stop myself from wanting to learn. So,
you haven't left your house in 6 days.
Dude, because AI is like amazing. Like I am learning as much as I possibly can. And then one day, you know, you miss one day and you're back like a week. Like I said, this stuff is moving so quickly. It's insane.
Yeah.
You know, I just wrote 15 advertising scripts with AI in like one day that I'm having videos shot and photographed via my phone. Like all of this technology, which is available to everybody.
But no groceries to the fridge. Fuck that.
Dude, no, I just had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like that's, creepy. You know,
creepy.
I haven't shaved in, you know, months. This is like,
my nails are
super long. And
We're going to have to peel Avelio off of his office chair.
Yeah.
He's grown into it.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
You brought up Midjourney. So what are some other, either your preferred or what are some of the tools out there that folks can start exploring?
Websites.
All right. So, yeah, I use Midjourney because I don't know why. There's a ton out there, and instead of trying to pick and choose all these different ones, I'm just focusing on one, and that's the one that I landed on. I got a buddy in Liverpool who's doing amazing stuff in AI. He's got a page called Artificial Inspiration, I think, on LinkedIn, and I mean the stuff that they're putting out is insane, like ridiculously crazy in terms of what they're generating. And you know, he's kind of shared some stuff with me, like how they're doing it, and you know, I just learned a ton, and they were using Midjourney, so I'm like, all right, I'm jumping in.
Yeah,
so I'm using that, using Jasper AI, which is like a copywriting thing. It'll write pretty much anything for you. Same thing, right? If I wanted to, I could write you a happy birthday card in the style of Ernest Hemingway if I wanted to. Like, crazy. But yeah, it'll do anything. And then there's like a ton of other stuff out there. There's podcast AI, which is not open for you to do anything with, but you can listen to it. And that's where they had Steve Jobs and Joe Rogan had a podcast together, which neither of them were a part of. Right, they basically pumped in all of Steve Jobs recordings and all Joe Rogan recordings, and it came up with its own
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, you know,
interesting.
Steve Jobs is like, it's like, hey, Joe, man, I've been listening to this in the car and I love when you do the intro. And you're like, holy shit, like this is crazy. And it sounds like, I mean, you get a couple glitches here and there that sound kind of computery, yeah, but for the most part, it's a full blown conversation.
I think. I'm sorry for that. Go ahead.
No, go for it, dude.
No, I was going to say, I see. So for me, I equate originality to a core, to a root, to truth, to,
mm-hmm,
and I think like that's what's missing for me. Like, what's the truth in that? You get an image, you get something, but that was essentially grabbed from other places to mimic or something else. And the whole thing with even just putting two people on a podcast, I just see that as being like this means of being V for Vendetta style almost, where you're getting fed all these things. And it's kind of already happening now, where you're fed a bunch of things. And it's like, how do you decipher what's what? Right. And so that's kind of like the thing for me, like what, with the loss of originality, you lose creation or creativity and you lose that like truth. I don't know. It's just, but that's like a whole nother thing as opposed to just AI. Just hear all the words, yeah, and hear everything is kind of like going that direction.
Which is, well, I mean, it sounds like I'm some like doomsday guy.
No, right? Dude, not at all, bro. No,
it's like gung ho. Let the computers take over.
No, man, you don't sound like that at all.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm serious. Yeah. No, you don't. You don't. No.
But here's the thing, man. Yeah, I can design some really cool stuff, right? I can design some amazing stuff. You can design some amazing things. But at the end of the day, we're not creating art. We're not creating, beautiful artwork. We're creating commercial art that is meant to sell a product.
Mm-hmm.
And that romanticism is great. And it makes sense if we're artists.
We are artists.
We're selling the art for the sake of the art. But we're selling art to sell you. Bacon sandwich, right? We're selling this for commerce,
right?
And commerce doesn't care how we feel. Commerce only cares about commerce,
right?
Which is why it's great to work with, like, I love working with startups, right? Because startups, they still have that like romance of building something amazing and doing something great versus working with like a huge CPG brand where it's bottom dollar, you know, it's all about the bottom line.
I don't want to take any risks. We've done this. Let's do something like this. Change it up a little bit. You're saying you're talking about craft versus purpose. So like the craft is making the stuff, but the purpose is to sell it commercially, as opposed to the craft being making it and doing it for just the making it sake. I feel you on that. Sure. That makes sense. Yeah.
And that's the one area where it's like, all right, again, commerce doesn't care if I created something by hand, if I'm sitting here whittling away something amazing, or if I pumped it in and got something great.
They just want to make money, and people just want their robotic pizzas.
Well, if your design doesn't help them sell more product, right? If all of a sudden you're creating beautiful design work, but it's not selling product, you're not going to get a lot more work after that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I just had Steve Lamoureux from Designalytics on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They basically, you put in your like current packaging, and then you put in like multiple concepts of things that you're thinking of going with this like, you know, packaging redesign.
Mm-hmm.
They then analyze it on a bunch of different whole criteria with a group of people from around the planet, and they ask him like different questions, and it's like it's a process, and it'll tell you, the results tell you, you know, pretty damn well if a new design is actually going to sell more,
right?
And sell less, create confusion, like all these different things, because, you know, there's agencies out there that are creating packaging that, or creating design or whatever, that doesn't sell more.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's
I think as a designer, you need to be judged on the value that you bring to the bottom line. If you're selling more product, then you're doing a great job.
That's also
beautiful things.
Yeah. That also goes back to the person who's making the product, though, too. If your product's shit, it doesn't matter what kind of packaging I'm going to put on it, it's still going to be a bad product.
You're not going to get that return.
Exactly.
The repeat. Yeah.
But no, that makes sense with what you're saying. It's basically you're doing qualitative analysis, quick qualitative analysis through like focus groups and getting people's feedback, and you're getting consumer feedback, which makes sense. Like, oh, this is what I'll buy. But that's also super duper. It's not legit. It's not accurate either, because people lie on that shit. They'll say what they think you want to hear as opposed to what they actually do. The best way to do it would to see what kind of trends work from direct shoppers. Like, what are the trends as far as like the actual numbers from what's being sold and what's being bought, why it's being bought, what on there is the commonality, like is it a claim, is it the color, is it the placement of it, is it the name? So like there's so many intangibles. But having something like that in place would help possibly narrow it down based upon what people are saying. Yeah.
You should definitely check them out. Like, you know, design, I think it's designalytics.com.
Yeah.
But it's more than focus groups. But like, for example, like Oikos was a big winner of Designalytics Award. You know, like the redesign from Beardwood for Oikos. Like, if you look at the previous pack, they barely even had mention of the fruit. It was like this blue container.
Yeah, or black container. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It used to be like this weird light blue color.
Mm-hmm.
And like there was very little mention of the flavor. And it's like, what's important to customers that are buying products? And it's like, well, it's all about flavor. We want to be able to identify it. You know, and like all these different inputs then led the team to, all right, this is the direction, like the big fruit, right? We're leading with flavor, like the photography, the illustrate, like all that stuff. You know, and at the end of the, and it's beautiful packaging.
Mm-hmm.
It sells more product, and for that reason it's a successful pack,
right?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
yeah, no, that's really cool, man. That's cool.
Just a couple parting thoughts on this.
Well, wait, before we have parting thoughts, before you wrap up, I think maybe you thought this episode would be a little different, and
I don't know,
do you want more specifics on how to use it and stuff like that, or
this is
no, I don't. Well, I think understanding it before actually getting more specifics as to how to use it, to me is like you're speaking from your experience using it. And if someone wants to learn how to use it, that's what I wanted to hear anyway. And this is great, cool, man. I love it.
This was perfect. Yeah, I agree. It wasn't really meant to be like a step-by-step, like,
okay,
yes, do this, do that, do that.
Right.
It was more like, you know,
what the fuck's going on with this?
Yeah. And I think we had a robust discussion about it, and we got some good, you know, like actionable things that we can do afterwards.
Mainly Kirk perfect. Just yelling at Avelia. That's all this was.
Get off my lawn.
Damn it. You and your young, get your little bicycle.
You don't tell me what to do.
Those cars aren't going to make it. Where's my horse and buggy?
Yeah.
But there are Amish people, so that's one thing. But what were you going to say?
But they're not listening to this.
No, they're not. They're not subscribed to us. No.
It's Amish intelligence.
What I was going to say is just two things. One, AI, especially like the Midjourney, DALL-E, any kind of thing like that, is, I think, from my perspective, it's so dependent on the description and the direction that you plug into it. So if you're, it takes, and I've watched other artists, like Midjourney has that great Discord group where like people iterate, you know, and like you can watch them in real time iterate their designs. And it's amazing because like they'll put something out there with a particular description, and then you'll watch them slowly but surely like narrow down the look and feel. That takes craft, and that takes creativity. And I just don't think it's just any kind of like marketing assistant can't just be like, I want to write a advertisement today. You're not going to do it. And it's, and I think, but like you said, like, oh, the AI is learning. So maybe next year we can just literally put in like, I want to sell pizza. And it's like, and it makes all these things. So that's my one takeaway. It's like, it is, it's still only as good as what you input into it. Like you 100%. Really have to be very specific and you have to craft your words, all that kind of stuff. The other thing that I have a beef with AI is that everything looks like a Mark Ryden painting. Like it all has this like dark vignette around it and it's all very creepy. And I don't know. And why is that? Why does all AI look dark and creepy with a vignette? And it basically looks like, you know, it came out of Juxtapose magazine. Like, I just don't, it just, it, I, and I looked at the artificial inspiration and like, yeah, there's some outliers, but for the most part, it all has this like fuzzy dark. Yeah. And I don't, I think eventually we'll get out of that. But right now we're in that sort of phase of visuals.
Yeah. I would say like a lot of the inputs of the original AI development was some of these artists that had that specific look. So we're evolving out of that.
Got it.
But yeah, but you're right. Like,
right. No, that's
it all had, and like, you know, if you look back a couple months ago, they all looked like really similar. Yes. Now we're getting a little bit of separation.
Yeah. Like you said, Avelio, it's learning. It's learning.
It's learning with or without us. So we can either be a part of it or not.
Well, yeah, that's funny. Yeah, you feed the beast. But hey, dude, hang on when we say goodbye, because I want to say a proper goodbye, because it's always good talking to you. All right.
Right, so hey, go follow Packaging AI on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
If you hate me, then say so in the comments.
I was just gonna say, you guys need to go on LinkedIn and follow Avelio Matos, EVELIOMATTOS. He has packaging. I'm sorry, let me get back to my list. Packaging Unboxed is his own podcast where he has special guests on, like the person from Design, what was it called? Design Analytics. And other people on there. It's a great podcast. I've been on, super duper encouraging and inspirational, even when we're talking about AI. Packaging You on Fridays on LinkedIn. Packaging AI, of course, on LinkedIn as well. Or LinkedIn, or also, you're on Instagram or anything?
No, it's too much.
You don't trust machines.
not until I can get AI to handle all that shit for me.
Right. And also you can catch them Packaging Today on Mondays at 7:30 a.m. with Corey Connors and Adam Peake. And that's on LinkedIn as well. But thank you so much for coming on, Avelio. And hold on for a second.
Yeah.
I'm Kirk Faisola. I'm the founder and creative director of Mind the Font. And I'm here with my good friend,
Andy Kurtz, for now the creative director of and founder of Buttermilk Creative, but AI might replace me soon. So
yes,
you heard it here first.
That's your goal.
Yeah. And you just listened to the Kirk and Kurtz Design Podcast. We'll catch y'all next time. Peace.
Bye.
See you guys.
All right. Thanks, Avelio. That was fun, man.
That was amazing. I think we could. I would love to do a whole sub.